Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Bayer, and this is my brother, Jonah.
We're two siblings who love to talk about our childhood and nostalgia and how it shaped us into the people we are today.
Who are very modest, if I do say so myself.
Welcome to How Did We Get Weird?
Jonah, you know, I know we're both really excited for our guest today and our topic, and it reminded me, without giving too much away, of the time that you sold your Discman to me, your Sony Discman to me, when we were probably like in middle school. Do you remember that?
Vaguely. I remember it mostly from you talking about it. How much did I get? How it came about? You were like, can I listen to your Discman? I was like, I'll sell it to you.
Yeah, it was like I had gotten... I don't know. I guess I had gotten like the Janet CD, the Janet Jackson CD, Janet.
Of course.
And I really wanted to listen to it or something. And you had a Discman. And I was like, wow, it would be so cool to be able to listen to it and walk around and stuff. So you said for $45, you can buy this Discman from me. So I did. And wouldn't you know, I'd say the next day it was back in your room.
Wow.
So it was sort of like you sold me something, but then you actually took it back. And I'd always have to like go find it.
Right, right.
So if you were a store, I'd say, let's put this store out of business.
Right.
Because they're an absolute racket.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I don't really remember it, but I believe you that it happened. And yeah, it'd be great if like we could tell a story now about how I was a successful entrepreneur and that was one of my first deals.
Right. Well, I think mom and dad made you give me the money back.
Yeah.
At some point, because I don't know if you remember this too, but I was a real money saver and you were kind of a spender when we were kids.
Okay.
Yeah. But look, you're doing great now. So it looks like, you know, learn those lessons when you're young is what they say. So, you know, start a business, learn, you know.
Start an unethical business when you're young, get it out of your system.
Exactly. Exactly.
Sounds good. Well, let's see what our guest has to say about this story. Guest today is a musician you may know from bands like MGMT or Modest Mouse. You can also pre-order his band Spiralhead's new album, Till I'm Dead, now. You can pre-order it now. Comes out very soon. Let's welcome our old friend, Simon O'Connor. Simon, what is up?
How's it going? What's up?
Not much. What are you doing there? Hanging out?
Just hanging out. Do you mind? I have a question and a sort of a theory about the story you just told.
Okay.
My question is, how much did you charge for the Discman?
$45.
Was that what you bought it for? How much did she charge you, and how much did you buy it for?
I don't know how much I bought it for. I may have gotten it as a gift. I don't know. That's a good question. How much was it? Discman was probably around, I don't know, $75. I don't know.
That's a good around that. I don't really remember.
Yeah. 60? Remember how money was worth a lot more then? So like, I don't know, but I think I got like a slight discount, but Jonah made up for the discount by not letting me keep it. I think I charged
Vanessa like a like if it was refurbished price.
Right.
Right. You gently used.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I also think the reason you don't remember this, Jonah, is because you took it back. So it was really a non-event in your life.
Yeah.
Because you had a Discman, and then one evening you didn't have it, and then you had it again.
Right.
Until it inevitably broke.
Yeah.
And then you had mysterious $45, which from what Vanessa said, it sounds like you spent immediately.
Yeah. Why do you think Vanessa held on to this memory for 30 years?
Because she got ripped off.
Yeah.
Right.
Fair. That's fair.
Yeah. And you're the little sister, Vanessa. Is this correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's also another thing. My sister remembers all this crazy shit. That I'm like, I don't remember that. I think it's like, she remembers sort of like, she claims that I traumatized her by forcing her to watch Pink Floyd's The Wall, right?
Mm-hmm.
When she was 3. But the truth of the matter is, I had never seen Pink Floyd's The Wall, and I was watching it, and I think she came into the room. You know what I mean? So that's like the little
right.
sister.
Right, context like,
I,
is so
I wasn't
important.
Like doing the Clockwork Orange thing, you know, just
yeah.
putting her there and... I was unaware that she was in the room, maybe, or I didn't know what was going to happen in the movie. I didn't see it.
Right, yeah. right. Do you have a memory, like, for music? Like, for me, Vanessa has a lot more childhood memories, but with, like, I remember, like, the first Bad Religion album I got, and every song, like, for music stuff, I have a very good memory. What about you?
Yes. I remember sort of the full lineups of shows I've been to, the full lineups of shows I haven't been to, and I think that's the way I... create clarity in cosmos in this chaotic life is by making sort of lists and things like that, and they're all music related. But I have other memories too. But you say you don't. You just that's all.
No, I have other memories, CDs. But those for some reason just stick a lot better.
What's the first CD you ever bought? Both of you.
I know mine for sure. What was yours, Vanessa?
Mine was Tori Amos Under the Pink, and I got a 5 CD changer that year. Which, Jonah, you were like, don't get this 5 CD changer. It's a really crappy brand. You should get the 3 CD changer that's Sony. And I was like, sorry, Jonah, I want to put all my CDs in here. And then I only had like 2 of them, like 2 CDs total.
Was it the Iowa?
It could have been.
3 CD changer?
It might have been. It might have been.
Those things broke.
Yeah. Yeah, it was always like, when you put a CD in.
And then be like, no. I want you to go in. And then, you know, I think a mistake is that if you give it a gentle nudge, the tray would go in. And the gentle nudge over time becomes a less gentle nudge.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
that's
and
right.
And then one day it won't open and you lost 3 Tori Amos CDs, you know?
But the thing that this also had, which I think the Sony one maybe didn't, was it had not only 5 CD changer, but 2 cassette players, which as you will recall, having 2 cassette players is so important because you can... make mixtapes, or something.
Tape the CDs. Did it
have dubbing?
Did it have a karaoke function?
Oh, I don't think it did. I think it was pretty much like 5 CDs, 2 tapes. See what you can do with it.
Okay, mine had one, and I don't think I knew that it had one for about a year. And I was like, why does all music just sound horrible? Because it was doing this weird thing where it would kind of try to sort of. EQ out where they think the vocals are. So I'm just like...
Whoa, I was going to ask you what the karaoke function was. So was it 4 CDs specifically?
It was for all music. It was just whatever's coming out of those speakers. And like, so I was just like, I don't know. I'd be like, this is a weird AC/DC record because there's no vocals or guitar. You know what I mean?
So it's just like taking out a certain frequency or something, or it thinks vocals.
I think so.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. But no,
yeah, if you don't know to turn that off, that must have been crazy.
You know,
come on, like, why is it even on there? Why? It's just, I feel like it turns on and everything turns on because it's really proud of all the things it could do. And then, you know, for a little guy like me, I didn't know all these things. I didn't know what's going on. I didn't know I had to press that weird little silver button in the corner to make things sound normal. You know,
right?
It's cruel.
Simon, what was your first CD?
I think my first CD was probably The Downward Spiral. By Nine Inch Nails.
Okay.
But I also like, I had tapes. The first tape I ever bought was True Blue by Madonna.
Okay.
That's so sweet. I think Jonas was Cocktail.
My first tape was Cocktail. My first CD.
The Cocktail soundtrack from the movie.
The Cocktail soundtrack, of course. But my first CD, Mom and Dad got me User Illusion 1 and 2 when they came out, I think with a CD player. But I had won Skid Row's Slave to the Grind somewhere. And I remember it being super scandalous because it had a song called Get the Fuck Out on it.
Really?
It was like, this party's over, so get the... And it was like, having a CD with like swearing on it was like a huge deal. God, and I remember like taking it to my friend Chad's house and us listening to it like secretly.
Oh my God. I loved a curse word. Like the Beck record had all these curse words on it. You know, Mellow Gold was in the back of my parents' car and just being like, motherfucker. And just being like...
I've told the story before, but my mom took me to see Guns N' Roses and Skid Row in 91 in Richfield Coliseum.
One show.
Skid Row opened on the Slave to the Grind tour. And Sebastian Bach swore so much on stage that it like blew my mind. I was like, people can talk like this? Like I'd heard like maybe, once in a while in a movie. And then I was just like, it was every other word. And I was like, I didn't know that this was like possible.
Right. Right. I feel like it was a bit much. You know what I mean? I mean, you like it, but you're kind of like, all right. The curses are special. Make the curses special. You know, you're giving it all away.
When I used to do stand up at this club Zanies in Chicago, they used to put me in the like new talent shows. And I remember the manager, Bert, was always like, if you swear in your, like everyone got like 5 minutes or 10 minutes. He was like, if you swear, he's like, it means your joke isn't funny. He was like, if you can do the joke without the swear word and it's still funny, it's funny. If you need the swear word for it to be funny, it's not funny. And he was basically like, I don't have respect. He like was really anti-comedian swearing in their sets because he's like, it's a cop-out.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's what Sebastian Bach was doing, but a little bit it feels like just be comfortable enough with yourself that you don't need to swear and show everybody, you know.
I agree with Bert. And I agree with you. And I do think it was what Sebastian Bach was doing. I do think he was saying, like, listen, these songs are bad. We all know it. We are the almost like royalty-free version of what you're about to see that's going to come on after us, who you all like.
Right.
But, you know, what the fuck is up? Or like, you know, so I'm not drinking anymore. But I'm not drinking any less, motherfuckers. Then you chug fucking fake Jack Daniel.
He did lead the crowd. This is my clearest memory in a chant of the phrase "Ice, ice, baby, fuck off." Like in the cadence of the song.
Jonah, do you remember like looking at mom and being like, "What are we supposed to do?"
I don't know what was going through my mind. I don't know.
I didn't even think your mom was there.
No, she was right next to me the whole time. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, my dad was president pretty much all the first shows I went to. He saw Nirvana. My first show was Nirvana and Butthole Surfers opened.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was amazing. But Butthole Surfers, when they played, they had Operation videos in the back.
Okay.
And I was so young that I covered my eyes for the whole set. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, I like Nirvana. I'm kind of, I think I was 10, maybe almost 11.
Where was this show?
Oakland Coliseum. It's where my grandparents lived. And then, subsequently, like, then I remember the most awkward show I think I went to with him was Hole, which was like the next year.
Wow.
And I was 11 and we got up front. It was at Roseland, New York. And Courtney Love was not wearing underwear. And had her leg up on the monitor, and I remember being like, "So that's what that is," you know what I mean? And I remember just like kind of just sharing that moment. And it was like with my dad was something that I would kind of not like to do again, or I didn't like to do then.
Gotcha. Yeah.
You know.
That's really shocking for a kid. That's.
Yeah.
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 It was. It was.
You know what? This might be a little bit of a non sequitur, but, you know, talking about those Operation videos, do you remember as a kid, you'd be flipping through the channels and then it would just be like a close-up of someone doing surgery on some random channel?
Like, but at night.
Yeah. Like, what? Like, who is that for?
You're like,
it was like someone sucking like the like blood out while they're like in an intestine.
You need like a second to figure out like what's going on here because it's like so close up. And then you're like, this seems like this should be shown to like a medical student. Like, why is this on TV?
Yeah. You know, it's like, Channel 11 after 10 p.m. It's all Operation videos, guys.
Was it like a Discovery predecessor or something. Like, I don't know why. Because I know now they have like those shows on TLC, the show where people get gastric bypass surgery with Dr. Now.
Right.
You know, and they show sometimes the surgery, like that's a section of it. But when we were kids, I don't even think gastric bypass surgery existed. I don't know what they were showing on there. That is really, it would be shocking. You'd be like, why am I?
You try to just get off it as fast, like turn your channel as fast as possible.
Dr. Now?
That sounds like a kind of like a Stanley Kubrick character.
Well, he has a longer name, but I think they shorten it by saying Dr. Now.
Is it N-A-O or is it?
It's like now, I don't know how, I don't actually, I'm so used to them calling him Dr. Now. I don't think I know his full name, but I think it's My 600 Pound Life is the name of the show. There's also a new show called, it's called 1,000 Pound Sisters.
I've seen, well, Netflix is really pushing that at me.
Yeah.
They're pushing that every time I, you know, it's like, you want to watch these people, you know?
Yeah. There's always, my problem with those shows is you don't get a lot of follow-up to see how they're doing.
Really?
And there's always an enabler, too. They're always usually like married or friends or relatives with someone who's big-time enabler.
Like comes over with donuts?
Yeah, who's like, I don't, also there is a psychological thing. This will be interesting for you, Jonah, as a mental health counselor. There's a psychological thing where I think sometimes the enabler person is used to like taking care of the other person and doesn't want to like change that.
Well, yeah, because when someone else is going through that change, then you have to kind of look at yourself and be like, maybe this is something I need to change in myself.
Right. So
is the enabler, because, you know, is the enabler, I guess what we see in New York as a herb. Do you know what a herb is? A herb is like, it's like a nerd, but they're not smart. They kind of, they want to be cool. And he's like the enabler, like, I want to be cool with this 1,000 pound sister. And I know that, you know, she's not supposed to have this, but like, she'll like me if I bring over, you know, contraband. Is it like that? Or is it somebody like, what is the character of the enabler?
I think it's always different, but I think it's, and Jonah, you can speak to this probably, but I think it's sometimes it's like they like the dynamic they're in where they're needed by the person and the person needs them. And so they want to like keep this kind of vicious cycle going. But then sometimes you see it's like the person who's going through like the weight loss thing is like, you have to get me this or I'm going to like throw a fit. Like sometimes it's like a behavioral thing that has to change with the person, like where the other person's like giving in a bunch. It's like with any kind of addict, it's like the people around them that sort of like can't stand up to them are sort of enabling them, but don't even realize they're doing it.
So
Go ahead.
I would say they are herbs in that case, because I think they're saying like, well, our friendship is kind of based on this sort of, agreement. And I'm nervous our friendship will not survive removing this kind of sort of situation that we have going on, you know, meaning that they don't have a lot of substance besides the actual things that they bring, whether it be heroin or whether it be chili con queso.
Right. You know? Now, where would you say, so that's where a herb would come in. Like in everyday life, a herb is just, you know, how do we recognize a herb?
Simon, at like one of your shows, would a herb be like a guy comes up, it's like, Simon, I brought you some like guitar strings. Can you, you know, or something like that.
Good voice.
I think anyone who brings me anything is a good voice. That's like exactly what herbs sound like. I feel like you, it's like, whoa.
Who goes, can I try to do a herb voice?
Please.
Yeah.
I was at your last show. I'm trying to do it based on Jonas. I was at your last show and I wrote down the set list. And I actually think you guys did a better set list this week than you did on the last tour.
See, that's not a herb. Because a herb's more of that's more like a German person who's like, you know, last time you played was a way better show. You looked a lot younger. And I was like, well, it was five years ago, so that's how fucking time works, fucking, you know. And then I thought it was boring. It was flaccid. It was bloated. You just did not enjoy yourselves up there. I don't know what you're doing. The sound was terrible, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, who are you and why are you backstage?
I think I actually just realized that I'm a Herb because Simon, last time you guys, I saw you play, with the Pixies, I like requested a song months in advance. Then you played it. And then afterwards, I told my wife, I was like, well, they haven't played the song in like 7 months, according to my data. You know, and like, that's a total Herb move.
According to Setlist FM, you're like, look, yeah. See? But I think I was just flexing my power. I think I was more like, see, would you be a Herb if you asked me to play the song and I didn't play it? Like, would you, or is because I played it, I enabled you to be a Herb?
I think you enabled me because I actually forgot about it because it was so long ago. And then you were like, I think it's going to be. And I was like, it blew my mind. But so I would have totally forgot about it. But then I felt like a true Herb when you played it. But I was also like, it was awesome.
The Herb would be a good villain, like Dr. Now and the Herb.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The Herb is just, I feel like a Herb. So Vanessa, I feel like a Herb is more kind of like, I think I said this already, like a yes man, like a Herb's kind of like, hey, you guys like tequila? And I'm like, it's 11 a.m. and we have like a
right,
show.
Right.
It's like, all right, right. I'm gonna have a little drink, you know, just to get, I drink all the time. I'm like, okay. Yeah, he's like, you guys smoke weed? You're like, oh, have you ever heard this band? I'm like, is it your band? You know what I mean? That's kind of a, that's
right. Well,
right.
Just to say, Dr. Now is the opposite of a Herb because if you watch that show, they'll be like, he'll be like, your goal was to lose 30, like the people have to lose a certain amount of weight before they can get gastric bypass surgery. Mm-hmm. And so he'll be like, your goal this month was to lose 30 pounds and you gained 2 pounds. And the person will be like, well, I like hurt my ankle, so that's why I did it. And he'll be like, so you hurt your ankle, so that kept you, so that made you eat more food. And like, he's like really blunt with people. And it's like, hey, Dr. Now, maybe you could be a little more of a Herb. And then these people right. would like, you know, take to you a little more. But at the end of the day, usually the people listen to him and he gets to do the surgery and that rocks.
Yeah. I think everyone should. I think it's important that everybody has a little Herb in them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or else, you know, it basically means like, you got to think at least some people are cooler than you. And
yeah.
And now I feel like I'm sounding like an asshole because I know that Jonah, you don't think that, but you just wanted to hear that song. And I wanted to play that song and that's all it was. It was a completely normal, non-Herb related interaction.
Okay. Because as we were talking about it, I was like, this is kind of a description of me. And then like this moment.
Okay. If you were a Herb, you asked in advance. If you were a Herb, you would have, the minute you got there, said it again. And right. then about like an hour later, you would have been like, can I see the set list? Is it on there? And then.
Right, right.
And then like right before I went on stage, you would kind of like mouth the name of the song. You know what I mean? That's right. more Herbie.
Yeah.
Which song
yeah.
was it?
It was Never Ending Math Equation.
Yeah. So you go, never. That's a lot. So like, what are you doing?
Yeah, you're right. I didn't bring it up. I wasn't like, yeah, hey, Simon, how are you doing? By the way. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, but I got to use that voice more. I think it's good.
It's good.
It's a really good character voice for you, Jonah.
Thank you.
You could play the Herb. I mean, I don't think that there's room for the Herb on Doctor. From what Vanessa's described, it doesn't seem like the type of show. I think I went with the idea of it was a kind of a Stanley Kubrick
right
villain and not an actual reality show with a real doctor.
Yeah, Vanessa, you kind of, it seems like you watch kind of a lot of these types of shows. Is that
yeah,
fair to say?
If you've seen it, I've watched it. That's not necessarily true, but I watch a lot of weird stuff. And I find there's value in pretty much all TV, except a couple of 2-3 shows that I'm not going to name on here.
Yeah,
well, I'm not thinking of anything specific.
Well, maybe the Surgery Channel could go. Sorry, what were
remember
you saying?
How there was court TV? Oh, what were you going to say, Jonah?
I was going to say, Vanessa, one thing that's interesting about your TV habits, and Simon, I don't know if you know anyone like this, is Vanessa has very strong feelings about commercials. Like, she'll be like, I'll be like, hey, Vanessa, how's it going? She'll be like, I'm just saw this commercial. Ugh, like, the song is so annoying. And
day.
I'll be like, really? Okay, anyways, I think we need to work on the podcast now.
There's a commercial, and I won't say what it's for, but Jonah and I were reading this article, and I sent it to Jonah, And this like pop-up commercial came up of this commercial that I cannot stand. And I was like, isn't this so stupid? I have a lot of critiques for this commercial. And Jonah was like, yeah, I guess so. And I was like, look at this guy here. It sucks. And Jonah was just sort of like, yeah, I'm not really watching the commercial. I'm kind of reading the article. And I was like, but it's getting in your way and you hate it. But yeah, I have really strong feelings about commercials. I think it's because when I lived in Chicago, what I would audition for and like one of the only things I would get paid for was to do commercials. So,
okay.
Like the thing that sort of kept me afloat was doing commercials. So I'm very into that. Like I really feel like I know the process backwards mm-hmm. and forwards of commercials. And I think when commercials are good, they're so good. And then when they're bad, I'm like, you guys, you were being lazy.
Yeah. So it's kind of, it triggers you, for lack of a better term,
yes,
in some ways.
Exactly.
It brings you back to a place where you, maybe not knowing at the time, but now, no, sorry, I'm doing your job, Jonah. Not knowing at the time,
no,
but
please.
You know, realize that that maybe you weren't happy and you wish you just said fuck you to everybody and now you can just say fuck you to the TV.
Well, no, I actually liked doing commercials, but I just feel like I was just involved in them a lot more. It was a lot more of like what I did. I don't know. I also like home shopping. I like all of it. I just feel like I'm very critical of
you
it.
Like watching TV where they're trying to sell you something.
Yes. Mm. Jonah, remember you and Vicky were watching some weird home shopping network and you were asked, there's so many ones come on late at night and I love watching those.
We found one and I wish I could remember the name where they could have these same like four people working and this guy would be like, the mine is closing and this Rubion, this is the last one ever coming out of the mine. It's $3,000. We're going to lower the price from $3,000 to $100.
The mine? Was he dressed as a miner?
No.
I mean, but somebody works in a mine, not a child.
It was so funny. He's like, I have these contacts at the mine. The mine is closing. This is the only mine that mines this, like, stuff. I mean, it was, like, incredible. But then he kind of said that about everything, so,
yeah. Right. Yeah, I feel
so
like
it was kind of an antique thing. I like trying to sell coal. What was he selling?
No, it was like these precious stones, but they were all like Rubicon or like Zorbicon or like yeah. These very like
those. There's a lot of there's a real following for gems too.
Yeah.
Like that's a whole, and I think more than one late night like gem seller, either selling jewelry or selling, you can just get this gem and have it. And like, this would originally sell for $1,500, but we're going to give it to you for $9.99 if you
go. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
then they have like a thing on the screen where it's like this many sold. And then they'll be like, it's gone.
Wow.
And you just don't know what's real unless you're watching QVC or HSN, which
So do they kind of imply that there's any sort of mystical powers of the gems, or they're just talking about the actual monetary value?
No, they're basically like talking about how valuable they're going to be and like how this is the most incredible opportunity you've ever had. And if you blow it, then you'll never get the chance again.
Those are the herbs of home shopping, those little channels, because real home shopping, as I said, is, I think, QVC and also, you know, HSN, but like, everybody else is a herb because they're just like, we have stuff too, but you know, you can only watch it late at night and we're going to absolutely rip you off. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so is home shopping, it's different than infomercials, or is it kind of tied into the same thing? Are they making
different.
Up a problem like infomercials do for you to like making
infomercials?
Like,
I think you've zeroed in on what they are, is they've made up a problem or zeroed in on a problem that they're solving. Whereas home shopping, you're buying everything from, you know, a beautiful blouse to a little angel figurine that you can display on your mantle when all the kids come home mm-hmm. over break.
So it's not somebody like tying his shoes and going like, ugh, I hate this.
Once in a while, they'll have that stuff. Once in a while, they'll have that stuff. Wait, sorry. The guy was tying his shoes, and then what was his problem?
He kept trying to tie, and it kept coming undone.
Tying it.
And then somebody comes in with,
and then what's the infomercial for?
Velcro?
Yeah.
I guess.
Velcro's good. One of my favorite memories of early internet was like those QVC bloopers where a guy would be like climbing a ladder and he would fall off.
Yeah.
Or like, and it was like, for some reason,
and
the kid was like the
funniest
thing.
Katana knife or whatever.
Yeah, he's messing with the katana knife and he's like, got me.
Got me good.
Got me good.
I don't, that's pretty amazing.
It's the best stuff out there, I would say.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Simon O'Connor.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
And we're back. Simon, really quickly before we get into today's topic, you were on my old podcast many years ago, Going Off Track.
Yes.
And you talked about selling hot dogs at Yankee Stadium. Is that right?
I didn't sell hot dogs. I sold lemonade. I started as a mere lemon cutter.
Okay.
For the lemonade stand. Then ended up selling lemonade, cotton candy, and Dippin' Dots. If you're familiar with Dippin' Dots.
Oh,
The ice cream of the future. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Ice cream of the future. Yeah. Yes. Now, where is it today? It's the future.
Exactly. I think I've seen it. Maybe I've seen sort of, I don't know if I've actually seen, I've seen stands, but I'm not sure if they're abandoned.
Have you ever heard, do you remember how kids would go, not to interrupt, but how kids would go like, this is better than regular ice cream. I'd be like, no, it's not, you moron.
It just tasted
like a bunch of ice. Like, it was so annoying when kids would be like, this is actually really good. It's better than ice cream.
Well, here's the interesting thing. So at Yankee Stadium, Dippin' Dots claim that they are kosher, right? Unlike the other ice cream. So it's the kosher ice cream.
Oh.
Okay.
And it's not true. Nothing at Yankee Stadium is kosher.
Okay.
But, well, this is a little inside, but like, you know, it's like, I remember sometimes the kind of the Hasidic newspaper would come by and like do a little check. And I remember having to walking, because it was a huge stadium, many different stands. And at that point I was a manager and like watching these Hasidic guys sort of grill these like 19-year-old Puerto Rican kids from the Bronx about if they wash the scoops that go in the sort of the sorbet in a different sink. And they're like, no. And I was like, no, say yes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
say yes. Yeah. And like, remember, like, just, and I was like, as soon as I saw that happening, I would kind of run up to all the other stands, like, bunch of guys in suits, beards. They're going to ask you, but scoops, you wash these in a different sink. Then they're like, okay. So I think that Dippin' Dots maybe found their angle by, I guess it could be kosher if it was, if they were, gave us instructions on what that meant or gave the, but
right.
Maybe that was their sort of angle to why you, some people would choose that over the other right. ice cream.
Well, I think if it has to be blessed or something by a rabbi, and then also you can't mix milk and meat, but I think it can be dairy as long as it's...
What I've just told you, I learned at that exact moment in the story that I've told. Like, I knew about the, you know, it being blessed by a rabbi, but I didn't know about this sort of washing protocol
until I
heard them ask. So it's based entirely on that. I don't know
what the protocol is. It can't, yeah, right. It can't go with dishes for non-kosher things.
I think it can't touch stuff that's touched non-kosher stuff.
I mean, meanwhile, everything was just thrown into like a gigantic sort of vat where like hot dog juice was poured on it. Like nothing.
Right.
Was,
it's like, know, it's like if you have specific dietary restrictions like that and you're going to Yankee Stadium, probably the safest thing to do is bring your own.
What was your favorite thing to sell? The Dippin' Dots, the lemonade, or the, I forgot the other thing.
I liked making cotton candy, and I would do that for a while. And then when you make cotton candy, sometimes because it's so light that it would just sort of like little clouds of sugar would kind of fly through the air, and I would suck them up, which grossed everybody out. But I just thought I was amazed. I felt like I was in space, you know?
Sure.
Just like food literally is flying by, and I go right there. And people are like, can you fucking stop? It's really pushing me off. But I think I liked selling Dippin' Dots because I liked saying ice cream of the future.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, you know.
I know you spent a lot of time on St. Mark's. Do you remember that Japanese restaurant that had the cotton candy machine outside?
Yes.
I think with maybe Kanka that you could make your own at the end of the meal. That was the coolest.
Oh, that is cool.
It's still there. And then that's kind of where I'm like, you know, I'm walking down St. Mark's. I'm like, check this out. I just fucking watching all these people. I'm like, how do you do this? I'm like, I just make the perfect little cotton candy.
Oh, yeah.
Noodle.
You must have been so good. I almost always
messed
it up.
Oh, because you knew how to do it.
I knew how to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They would, Vanessa, just to tell you, they would give you like a little cup at the end of the meal with like this like powdery stuff in it. And then they had like a big machine outside. And then you would kind of pour it in with a stick and kind of like twirl it around. And you could like kind of make your own cotton candy.
That's so cool. Was it not there anymore when I lived there?
I think it
is probably
there.
Still there. Were you, like, as a young punk in NYC, were you hanging on St. Mark's a lot, just, like, talking about, you know, cross-punk and, I don't know, yeah.
Well, that's, absolutely.
Jonah, you acted like such a herb.
Yeah. I was going to say the same thing. I was just like.
Back in the day.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, Vanessa, what do you want to talk about? Like, can't deal with this fucking herb. Yes, I did go to
like
St. Mark's
music?
And talk about crust punk, Jonah. Any other questions?
All right, I'm going to sign off now.
Did you go to punk shows?
What were some of your favorite venues? Because there's like a lot of venues that I like.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of The Clash? But no, I would go to St. Mark's too, you know, because that's where I would see people who had mohawks and then stand around them like a herb and then eventually like laugh at something they said, you know, and then move 2 inches towards them, laugh at another thing they said. And then, you know, after a good year of doing that, I was in.
Nice. Incredible. You know? Well, speaking of that, our topic today, Sony Discman. Something that
and
we haven't covered
Discman
on the show
in general.
Before.
We're not brand, no brand.
We're not, yeah, just Discman in general. Although the Discman is like a Sony thing. Like, I guess it's like a portable CD player, maybe.
They invented it?
Yeah, they invented the Discman. Like, that's like a Sony thing.
Did they invent the Walkman too? Because I feel like Sony Walkman is a thing as
I think
well.
They did.
Yes.
I think
yes.
they did. I think they cornered both of those markets.
Those bastards, they've done it again.
Yeah, you can get a Discman now, or you can get a portable CD player by like Koss now or something, but you're not getting a Sony Discman.
Do you remember Kobe? Though, like, you could buy a Kobe Discman at like bodegas. I mean, this might be a very new, you know, which is kind of like, it looked exactly like the Sony logo, but didn't say the same thing, and they were very cheap.
Yeah, yeah. But what was your relationship with this? Why did you kind of, what makes you feel nostalgic about the portable CD player?
Well, when we first talked about it, I just thought about something that kind of something in my past that I at a certain time in my life I absolutely depended on, that when I think back on it was a pretty ridiculous kind of invention, in the sense that, like, you kind of had to really, unless you had one of those, like, you know, the shockwave sports Discman, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
They kind of like, they have like, you know, you close them like Tupperware, like they have those little latches on them, and they can actually, like, you can put the Discman in your backpack and walk, and you could actually hear a song without constant skipping.
Yeah.
But like every other Discman, like, you kind of like had to hold it like a pizza, you know what I mean? Like walk slowly, or like a tray full of martinis, like, you know what I mean? And it was like, this is, and like walk slowly, or else you just like, you will hear like, you know what I mean? Like maybe they'd have from my experience, and also like obviously CDs themselves were so easily damaged, that like that on top of the kind of delicacy of the Discman itself made this sort of like my formative years of music listening kind of bizarre and unique for people who I think we're all around the same age, you know? Like I think that like I consider junior high and high school my Discman days.
Yeah.
And then I think when I went to college, the iPod was around ish, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know right away. I feel like maybe I got one in 2000. I went to college in 2001. I feel like I got one in 2003, but maybe when somebody asked me when I did something, I always say 2003 for some reason. I don't think it's necessarily true. I just choose that year.
Yeah.
But,
it's a good year.
But yeah, I just find like it was such a kind of like, it was better than the Walkman because it was a CD. But when you actually think about it and how sort of like unwieldy and disruptive it is versus like a Walkman, it kind of like almost seemed like a bit of a mistake invention in some ways.
Well, I think the anti-skip technology was super important because I think it would actually like read what was ahead and like memorize it and then play that back. But one thing I remember about CDs, or you're right, they would get scratched really easily, but then you would listen to them over and over, and then the scratch almost became part of your like understanding of the song, and then when you heard it without the scratch, you're like, what is happening here?
Absolutely.
Right. In fact,
there's like, I was thinking about this the other day, like there are albums that I loved that like, I don't know if I've ever heard the second song because it was scratched. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like it was just kind of, and I would have to skip it until the advent of, you know, streaming, like for real. There's definitely a few records like that. I also would carry in my backpack, like, just actual CDs, like in their jewel cases, not like one of the case logics, because like, so they were constantly like falling out of the cradle and just like getting just fucked up beyond, you know, any repair. And like, but I would just deal with it. But yeah, like, so back to the story you told, do you remember what type of Discman you sold and then stole?
Yeah, I think it was a pretty early one because we were pretty young. So I don't think Discman had been out for that long, but I feel like I do remember, I don't know if it was on that one or some later ones, there was like a skip protection thing, but it didn't really work maybe.
Yeah.
What color was it?
It was gray.
I think it was black. It was gray? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So the one, like for my eighth grade graduation, my parents got me the Sony Shockwave like sports thing, which was yellow. And
it was a CD?
It was a disc.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like, you could kind of like, I may be making this up, but I feel like in the commercials, it's like a snowboarder falling with one, or like, you know, like a BMX rider, like kind of doing a flip with one. And like, that was the thing. You could drop it and it wouldn't skip. But I had that for about a month, like I was between eighth grade and ninth grade. And then when I went to ninth grade, I started to take the train to school. And I think I had it for about a month before I got robbed and it was stolen because,
aww.
Yeah, well, I think it was like, because it was an expensive one. I don't know how I really, when you said $75, like I think it's also like a lot of this happened in my, these are the days when things were bought for me. You know what I mean?
Sure,
I know,
right. Sure. You got right. gifts.
This is before you're at the stadium selling that cotton candy.
Exactly. Before I was making that money.
Yeah, like cotton candy money. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like, but I think that like, you know, in if you are a robber, a mugger, like, you know, young teenagers are like the perfect target, and I would get robbed a lot, but like,
sure,
I think that like having those yellow, and they also do like yellow headphones, which also had the, like the shockwave thing,
yep,
also made them vibrate. Do you, I don't know if you ever had this. This is something, because you know how you think that everybody has experienced every single little thing that you experienced as a child, and then you realize that no, okay, so maybe, but like they had this sort of like, you know, when the kick drum or the bass would go and it would vibrate, which I've actually made my ears really itchy, you know? But right. But I think that like if somebody would see like the yellow headphones, they would know that like I had one of the sort of expensive.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're like, well, that's good, because you're gonna rob a young teenager, like it's a kind of a crapshoot. Like, what do they have? Like $4 on them and like a yo-yo, or maybe
their math homework.
Yeah, exactly. But you see that those yellow headphones and a little yellow wire, you know that like there's a
right,
you know, a Discman, and like, which makes me think now, like, since if you assume, I wonder if like people are getting robbed more because it's now you see a teenager and you're like, well, they have a, you know, $500 little computer in their pocket, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
Like you just assume there's something of value that I could get from this, like. Risky, you know,
but I think it's like logistically harder, right? Because if you like take someone's phone, then they can lock it and then it's kind of useless, right? Like I think the technology also makes it more difficult to do that stuff, which is good,
right? But if you're kind of, let's say the person you rob is a Herb, right? And you're just kind of like, if you tell anyone, I'll fucking kick your ass.
They're like, oh, Simon, I really like Float On.
yeah, exactly. Do you guys want to play that? No. Do you like this song? I like this song. I don't like this song. But yeah, like, but you know, if you put this sort of like, if the robbers are familiar, which they were with me, there was like, I knew everybody who was mugging me. They would just wait outside my train station. In fact, one of them was at my 6th birthday party. And so like, they could kind of like, if I knew that I would see them again. Yeah. I was about to say his name, but
what was his relationship to you?
We were friends. We liked the Ninja Turtles, and then we became teenagers. And he decided to rob me with his friends every day.
Okay.
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, I think we went to the same school, and then we didn't. But he wasn't him who stole the disc, man. It was actually like the robbing of the Shockwave disc, man. Was like. Took about 45 minutes, and it was all on trains. It was like the French Connection. You know what I mean? You know that scene? Like, I was just like running through cars, taking different trains, and like, they would get on, and I would see them, and I would go through the doors and go like this. And then finally, it was like, it's my stop. And then they got out of my stop, and I was like, how you guys doing? You know? But yeah, like, I don't know. I feel knowing the people who rob you is maybe it's better. I
think
remember,
it might be a little less scary,
Because if I was more of a Herb, and I was a Herb, but I could be like, I'm about to say his name again. I'm going to say his first name, Jeffrey. That's his first name.
Okay.
Like, I know your mom. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to tell your mom. And I know even scary muggers don't want to be scolded by their moms.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I was in the fine line where I wasn't Herbie enough to tattle, but I also was Herbie enough to be a completely easy target who people had a great time and a lot of fun taking my stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I just was thinking about my early CDs while you started talking about that, because I was going to make a reference to it. And I realized I just got a joke from 1992, like in the last 2 minutes. Vanessa, do you know what a B-side is?
Is it... What is it?
It's kind of like, if there's a single, it's kind of like the other song. Like if you were if you had a 45, that like the extra song they put on. Is that how you would define it, Simon?
Yes. It's sort of, exactly. It's the song that's not as good as the other one.
Yes.
But sometimes it's better.
Skid Row in 1992, sorry to bring it back to Sebastian Bach and Co., but Skid Row in 1992 released a B-side collection called B-side Ourselves.
Wow.
And I just got the joke. Like, I was like, beside ourselves. Oh, beside ourselves.
The Masters.
Wow.
And they cover the Ramones on it, which also seems totally bizarre.
I bet that was a fabulous version of a
psychotherapy.
And that's why you do what you do now. Yes. Because of the cover specifically, yeah. Not the
original. How did you get into this? Well, in 1992, Skid Row covered the song Psychotherapy, yeah. And I thought, I'm going to go back to school in 30 years. Yeah.
If you were real Herb, you'd be like, Skid Row wrote this song called Psychotherapy. And then you're like, this is awesome Skid Row song. Like, they're kind of like, kind of punk. Like, I don't know if you really know, like, Sebastian Bach. Like, well, that's a really funny joke they made.
Yeah, it's funny, right?
Sebastian, it's pretty good. Do you think that they, when they covered it, the Ramones thought they were Herbs? Like, they were like, oh, here comes Sebastian Bach. He's a total Herb.
Probably. I don't know. I would imagine. What do you think, Simon?
I think 100%. So,
yeah.
This is not directly Ramones related, but it's like, it's kind of, you know, adjacent, where I was in Japan playing a festival and I saw Captain Sensible from The Damned, and he started talking to me. He liked MGMT. We're talking. And then Michael Monroe from Hanoi Rocks, you know, who is kind of the reason Sebastian Bach, you know, is doing this, the reason Guns N' Roses exist, and like
Motley Crue's, yeah, Skid Row,
exactly.
All these.
They were like the first, right? And I was kind of like, don't love their music, but like, if you're the first, Godspeed, right? So like, he's like, I was taking a picture with Captain Sensible, and I just see like this guy, you know, he looks like the quintessential. He looks like he's playing a aging rock and roller in a movie. Like, he's full on, just kind of like, nothing's really fitting very well. The eyeshadow is terrible, like, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, you guys taking a picture? And then Captain Sensible goes, oh, bollocks. Here he comes again. Hello, Michael. And I'm like, oh my God, like, Michael Monroe's a Herb. He's like, what's up, Captain? Who's this guy? Do you mind if I get into your picture? And he's like, fine, just, you know. And like, it's on my Instagram. There's a fucking picture of Captain Sensible and Michael Monroe. But he just kept like annoying the Damned. And I'm like, this is a Herb from the 70s. Like, this guy has been annoying the Damned for close to 50 years. And he's like, here he comes. He literally said, here he comes. And I was like, oh my God. Like,
Simon, what's the difference? How do you describe the difference between a Herb and a Punisher?
Okay. No. All right. So a Herb can be a Punisher, and a Punisher can be a Herb. So that doesn't work. But sometimes a Punisher, I think it's the Punisher is like trying to get information because they're obsessed for the most part, like that style of Punisher. And they're also not behaving in a way that could be construed as kind of suave or cool, because they're just punishing you with questions.
Yeah.
It depends. I think it's just like all about what you are being punished about, or what one is being punished about. Like, if there's sort of like interesting questions and facts, or if they're just kind of like, hey, you know, so what are you doing? What are you doing after the show? Oh man, like, you should go, what's your favorite bar? Like, if they're punishing you in a way that they want to hang out with you or something like that, it's more on the Herb side, but that they're like asking about, you know, where something was recorded, or like, what, you know, how did you get this sound? Like, if it's sort of like interesting sort of technical questions, which I don't think they're doing. If I don't think the intention is to make the person they're punishing like them, the intention is to actually, they're really desperately curious about the information that they're punishing one about, that's not necessarily a Herb.
Yeah.
But like, if they're punishing someone to make the person like them, then they're a Herb. But that's a very good question.
I don't think I knew before this what a Punisher is.
Yeah, Punisher is someone who kind of asks a lot of questions. Like, kind of, but I think it's like, you know, being a music journalist is like, you know, such as myself, is like a great front for like a Punisher, because it's like, it's kind of legitimized. Because like, well, I'm writing this article, so I have to ask you all these really in-depth questions about this stuff. But it's sort of like, you know, your way in a little bit.
Yeah. So it's like, I think that sometimes I enjoy Punishers.
Yeah.
But then there's like, but you can also be Punisher doesn't only mean question asking. Am I right? Like, I think punishing could also be sort of like incessantly going on and on about, like,
yes,
yourself. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Oh, you know, I just, so I got basically, you know, I got like, you know, I'm between jobs at the moment, but you know what? Like, just like, it was just this sort of kind of like, they won't talk, and everything you say, like, you could literally say it doesn't matter because they're just here. Like, I just say, you know what? Like, I'm like, honestly, like, so what? Like, I can fucking do what I want at work and they have a fucking problem with it. Fuck you, right, dude? I'm like, yeah, okay. He's like, it doesn't matter. So what? Like, I know, like, I can't drive anymore because I fucking crashed into somebody when I was wasted, and that's fucking cool, right? I'm like, yeah. Like, you know, that's kind of, that's like a Herb Punisher.
I love that your example of someone who's a Punisher is someone who opens with, I'm between jobs right now.
Well, I think that Punishers don't last long at workplaces.
They're like a little, they're like, right. That's probably like in a Venn diagram of Punishers, probably a lot of them are unemployed. They're like, because they're like, that's how they, even when they're at work,
they told off
like,
their boss or something.
Yeah. Or they were just so annoying to work with. They were like, oh man, last night, like I stayed up so late. Like I just like, you know, my roommate works at this restaurant and she's able to like bring home like all the extra food and stuff like that. And actually some of the booze, which is really cool. It's like really expensive stuff. It's like, I guess it's like top shelf stuff or like the shelf below it. But anyway, like she brings it all home. Like she's not technically allowed to, but like, what are they going to say? You know what I mean? They need her to work there. So like, I absolutely like downed like all this liquor, like again, like really either top shelf or the one under it. And I had like, steak and like lobster and stuff. Like it was so cool. And then I get fired.
Some of Punisher Herb. So between jobs, and then I think another Punisher Herb kind of like catchphrase is, women are fucking crazy, dude. Like, whatever comes after that is just going to be, I'm like, I don't want to hear what you're about to say. Like seriously, dude, chicks are crazy. Like, I literally have never fucking not dated a fucking crazy girl. Like, they're fucking crazy. They're pretty, like, so like last one, like, I can't be tamed. Like, blah, 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 blah. You know, I don't want to actually go.
I think there's another version that's like, says all the things all the time. It goes like, oh my God. Like, I just like, I'm such a stickler for like, I love spa treatments. I love shopping. Yes. Like, I love all the things, like all the girly things. Like, I just love like.
Yes. But so that type of Punisher is like the person sitting next to you on a plane, right? And they're like, huh, Boeing. Okay, I wonder what movie should I watch? What are you watching? I'm like, just fucking shut the fuck up. I'm like, Los Angeles. It's warm there. Do you know what the weather is? I'm like, fucking no. I don't know. Yes, but fuck you. You know what I mean? Like that sort of that Punisher. But I'm like, you're harmless. You know?
Right, you're harmless,
but like, shut up. Like maybe like, you know, an Uber driver could be a Punisher in that sense. And like, this is also my fucking East Coast asshole shit where I don't like being spoken to at all. and I don't like any interaction to take more than 25 seconds at the most. But I feel like that sort of like banal, harmless, possibly lonely Punisher.
Yeah.
It's irritating, but you also kind of like, well, you know, how long's left in the, you know, flight? 5.5 hours. Okay.
I believe that the Gen Z phrase for this would respond to this by saying, read the room. I think that's what they say.
Right.
Read the room.
Right, right, right.
Oh, good. Most of the stuff that Gen Z say, I don't understand, but that I get.
I learned the funniest thing about Gen Z the other day. I already texted Vanessa about it.
Oh, yeah.
Someone posted, you know, Tracy Chapman just performed at the Grammys, mm-hmm. and someone Gen Z person posted all this stuff like, Tracy Chapman, who is this? Like, I did a deep dive in this, like, unknown artist that was, like, performed at the Grammys and then was, like, basically just took all the stuff off Wikipedia and, like, was, like, you know, acted their expert. And then someone responded with this meme about how Gen Z, they call them the Christopher Columbus generation because they think they discovered everything.
Right. Well, that's kind of the new breed of Herbs. Yeah. Yeah, like, if someone's playing the Grammys, you probably didn't discover. I'm just going to.
Yeah.
Like, you know that there are people in the audience. Like, this isn't just, other people can see this too. Like, this isn't just something. You didn't do a fucking YouTube search and like find this, you know.
I know. It's, yeah, it's incredible. Like wait till they find this, like, yeah, wait till they find, anything. I mean, yeah, but it's such a funny phrase to me.
That's such a funny phrase. And I will say, I watched the Tracy Chapman, Luke Combs performance on the Grammys. It was so great. And then I went back and watched her 1989 performance at the Grammys, which is like incredible. It's so crazy to see her like singing that song. And I will say now, given this conversation that we've been having, the whole audience seems like Herb's, because she's like absolutely killing it. She's like this young, like she's just like, so it's so emotional, whatever. And the audience looks like they like cannot keep up. Like they're trying to like clap and stuff. And like they're absolutely trying to hide that they're Herb's.
Right. But like doing the Trump dance.
She like puts everybody in the audience to shame. And it's basically like, it's not on purpose, but she basically like turns them all into Herb's in like no time.
Oh my God. When you're the coolest person in a gigantic room, like Tracy Chapman, like that must be pretty rad.
Yeah.
Like, it's just monocles are falling and champagne flutes and shit. Like, yeah, I would say you put fucking Fast Car in a commercial and I'm buying whatever that is.
Oh yeah. 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 Let's.
I will wipe the tears out of my eyes after the commercial's done and go to, you know, whatever store or whatever, just buy whatever products that they're selling. That one,
yeah, yeah. That although, works. Like, given all of this Fast Car, you know, they were saying, like, I read something that that Fast Car has been like downloaded so much since the Grammys too. Like the original, obviously Tracy Chapman version has been downloaded so much, and I guess I would be a little disheartened if all of a sudden like it was in a commercial.
Yes,
I'd be
yes.
like, okay, but then I'd also be like, good for Tracy Chapman. Everybody else gets to cash in. Why doesn't she?
Sure.
I think younger me would almost be like, people like Tracy Chapman now, or like, you know, whatever. Like, I liked her first, and like now I think she sucks. And I will, but now as a kind of a grown up, quote unquote.
Yeah.
I think I'd just, if she's getting money from a commercial with Fast Car, if she's playing the Grammys and people are downloading her shit, I take my ego out of it, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
Good for TC.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back with these Herbs. Just kidding. After the break.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
And we're back. Okay, well, if anyone else has any more Herbie questions to ask, we're going to play a game. Is that cool?
Yes, but does anyone else feeling like the sort of the Herb theme has made them a little bit self-conscious about what questions and things you're saying? Because it sure has with me. I'm like, everything that kind of goes into my brain and on the process of coming out my mouth, I'm like, would I seem like I heard by fucking saying this? And like, will this continue after the podcast? Like, is this going to be like the rest of our week or my week?
Yeah. Just during the course of this podcast, I've realized I was a herb in front of you, Simon.
That's fine.
You know, so I'm just realizing, yeah, this has been a real reality check for me.
Whenever you guys stop to talk about, or whenever we're ever doing a podcast and Jonah is talking to the guest about like any kind of music thing, I just sit there like a herb because I'm like, you know, you're like, and remember you did this tour and like, or you'll be like, in an amp when it has this kind of sound, it sounds so much better than this sound. And I'm always like, I'll just sit back being a herb.
Yeah, you should, I feel like sitting back is not herby. If you like, interjected, like if you told me that you were at that Tracy Chapman show, then that's kind of a herb. Or you're like, oh, Beatles saw him in 65, you know what I
right,
mean?
Right.
Like,
I mean, I did see Tracy Chapman once at the Beacon Theater.
Really?
Yeah. So, but I feel like it's kind of a herb move.
You didn't bring it up, though.
You there not like, bringing it up is actually an anti-herb move.
Exactly.
But not
that's
bringing
the
it
coolest
up now.
Fucking thing okay. That's happened in the last hour.
Yeah.
That's fucking A, man.
Well, speaking of herbs,
we have good segue.
Thank you. Yeah. We have a new segment today. It's called Congratulations, You Baked Yourself.
Congratulations, You Baked Yourself.
In this game, we'll discuss three culinary dishes that are making a comeback. And the rules are a little unclear in this game. It's a little bit of a works in progress, but we'll pick which one of these three dishes we're most excited about, and that will okay. be the issue that has baked
the,
itself.
The dish that has baked
the
itself.
The dish has baked itself. So we have another segment called Congratulations, You Played Yourself. This is Congratulations, You Baked Yourself.
So baked is good or bad?
Great question. So,
In the other game,
it's bad.
It's bad, but in this one, it's actually
good, I think it's good
because these are all in the other game, it's sort of the opposite. It's like things are going anyway. The point is, this game, these dishes are making a comeback, and the one that we like the most baked itself.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we don't pick that till the end. So we'll just discuss these three and then we'll pick at the end. Jonah, I can read this first one.
Sure. Why don't you kick us off?
The first dish that's coming back is strawberry pretzel salad. And this article says, some recipes just never go out of style. And this strawberry pretzel salad is one dish that stays popular for a good reason. Perfect for potlucks and practically required at picnics. I actually have been to a lot of picnics. I've never seen it.
No.
This dessert recipe is simple to make and hard to get wrong. There are layers of salty pretzels, whipped cream cheese, and bright strawberries suspended in gelatin, all topped off with lightly sweetened sweetened sour cream and toasted pecans. Most likely created along with the wave of Jell-O salads popular in the 1960s, it's a simple classic dish that just so happens to be an explosion of flavor and texture.
Wow.
Okay.
Simon, what are your thoughts on strawberry pretzel salad?
I've never heard of it before. From the description, I find it very confusing, a bit unwieldy. I feel like it's sort of a... I might be completely leaving something out, but I'm not sure how I feel about food where every bite is wildly different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, especially different textures. Like, those, it seems like a tooth breaker. You got, what were the nuts in there?
Pecans.
They're all soft.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't say my answer right now, or because there's going to be two more dishes described, correct?
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
I guess that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Vanessa, what do you think of this one?
I am surprised by how much the author is like, of course you know about this one. Like, we're so happy this is coming back. Like, strawberry pretzel salad, right? The idea of pretzels and cream cheese and gelatin sounds like pretty gross to me, but I actually bet this is pretty good. So I'm going to reserve judgment until I hear the other...
It reminds me of something that a child would make.
Yeah.
Like, right. It seems like they threw everything together.
Yeah. Like, I like these things and I'm going to put them all in a bowl and give them to mommy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. 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 And then your mom would go, oh, this is really good, Simon. Thank you for making this for me. And then like when you left the room, she'd be like, that's going in the trash. $20 at the grocery store.
Exactly.
I'll never get back.
Yeah. She'd take one bite and smile. And then, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I guess my kid's a herb.
Yeah. What a fucking herb.
Yeah.
What a
punisher. I agree. They act like it's such a well-known thing. Like, you'd be like, oh, we made some strawberry pretzel salad. Like, ooh, I actually had some last night, but I guess I could have more.
It seems very church groupy.
Now, I want to give a little disclaimer. This article is from Southern Living. So okay. That might have something to do with why we haven't heard of strawberry pretzel salad.
Yeah, and right. Speaking of which, our next dish. This is a very fancy sounding dish.
Hopefully it's from Northern Living.
It's Steak Diane.
Okay.
Steak Diane usually refers to a pan-seared steak dish that's cooked in butter and finished with a flambéed cream and cognac sauce. Some recipes use strip steaks, but we prefer tender beef fillets or beef tenderloin medallions. Likewise, some sauces are beefed up with mushrooms, others skip them. The Diane in the recipe refers to the pan sauce and how it's made with mustard, cream, Worcester, and flambéed cognac. Basting the steaks in butter really ensures the steak will have a flavorful and beefy saltiness that contrasts beautifully with the cognac notes of the sauce. Flambéing is quick, safe, and easy. But if you don't have ventilation, simply omit this step or allow the alcohol to cook off on low heat instead. Simon, what are your thoughts on the comeback of Steak Diane?
Well, I was a bit distracted by the amount the word beef was in there. And especially yeah. when they used it to not refer to the beef of the dish, but to say the beefed up. The sauce.
Right, yeah.
I think I was just kind of stuck on that. I was like, was that intentional?
I think it was. I think yeah. this person is a little bit of a, I'll drop in a pun here and there, a little bit of a herb.
Yeah. The next one is herb-crusted chicken. But like, so I mean, from what I heard, it sounds like a pretty relatively normal food. They're just kind of, it's almost like they're over-describing it to me. Like, I kind of know what it is. I mean, there's certain little nuances that kind of took me for a loop. I was distracted by the use of the word beef. So I'm not sure if I kind of absorbed everything, but I would take that over the strawberry pretzel salad thus far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's winning for you so far.
Yeah. That's
I mean, could you picture yourself being at like a fancy restaurant and being like, I'll have the Steak Diane, please.
See, that's not me. You know, like, I don't like fancy restaurants. First of all, I'm just like, oh, hello, monsieur, do you want to? But I'm like, you know what? Shut up. Not my thing. I don't really like menus or waiters, you know. But
I'm envisioning you saying this all to Sebastian Bach.
Yeah. I'm saying this to the person. I'm saying this to the stewardess on the plane. I'm like, what is this? Do you eat the tinfoil? Yeah, sorry. Yes, I could, Jonna. I could.
Okay. Fair enough.
I will say that I got a little stuck, Jonna. I don't know about you, because I have this article in front of me on their description of why it's called Steak Diane. They don't really explain it. They say the Diane in quotes, they put Diane in quotes, the Diane in the recipe refers to the pan sauce and how it's made, colon, with mustard, cream, Worcester, and flambéed cognac. It's like, okay, you're not, why Diane though?
Yeah.
Like, is it like Diane von right. something loved cognac? So that's
right,
why.
Right,
they're just right. saying Furstenberg. Ingredients. And then you go, well, how do I put these two together?
That's what I thought too. I thought they're going to be like famously Shelley Long, who played Diane on Cheers, right. loved
yes,
her steak
exactly,
prepared flambéed.
Exactly.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That
right,
would be
right.
great. Then I would go, I don't even have to hear the other two. I love Cheers and I love Diane and I love this dish.
Yeah.
Right. Like they left the most interesting part a mystery, I think. Or they yes. didn't. In the initial reading, they did.
Yeah.
You know, it's also like if your wife is named Diane and she's gone missing, would you serve Steak Diane, or would people raise an eyebrow?
Right.
I think they're eating
right.
your wife.
Might make you a little suspicious
you might,
to
yeah,
the, you know,
not,
the cops.
Yeah, the optics are
not good.
Yeah,
Jonah, not. Would you order? Could you see yourself ordering
I
Steak
could,
Diane?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds, yeah, I would try. It sounds kind of interesting. You know, I generally have my steaks pretty minimalist, but this is not exactly the first way. You know, flambéed cognac sounds pretty intense, but I would try it if I was out somewhere fancy. I don't know. Maybe someone yeah. else is paying. Maybe I'm on an expense account or something. Why not?
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Vanessa, do you want to share this last one?
Sure.
We can ask one more question about
yes,
Steak Diane.
Please.
Just quickly, I'm very sorry. How much do you think this would cost in a restaurant?
I think it's expensive. I think you got cognac, you got steak. It has the name Diane in it. I think this is a $50 entree.
Okay. Our producer Olivia has said, invented in London and named after the Greek goddess of hunt.
Ah.
Diane. Isn't it Diana?
I think it's Diana.
But they're being little herbs and they're calling her Diane. Yeah. But based on the name. Okay.
Yeah. This is an expensive dish. This is you're not getting a steak Diane for $20 at the local. Okay.
The Greek god thing is good. I wish they'd said Diana because I feel like Diane's kind of Greek god Susan. You know what I mean?
It makes me more mad at the way it's explained in this article because it's like they completely leave that off out, but they're like, because it has mustard in it. It's like,
oh yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Let's not blame the food for the poor, you know, literary presentation.
Yeah, right. That's right. Fair. Let's not hold that against it. That's a really good point.
Fault. Yeah.
Vanessa, you want to get in this last one? Yeah.
Yes. This last one is wacky cake. Wacky cake, also known as crazy cake, war cake, depression cake, and three hole cake, is a simple chocolate cake recipe that's been used in kitchens for nearly a century. This cake was created when many common ingredients were hard to acquire or food items were being rationed. So the recipe doesn't include any butter, eggs, or milk. Even though this cake originated during challenging times, the recipe itself couldn't be easier to create. Okay, wacky cake is considered wacky, not only because the recipe lacks any dairy or eggs, but also because all the ingredients for this cake are mixed directly into the pan it's baked in. Okay, and then what are the ingredients for a wacky cake? The ingredients for wacky cake include everyday kitchen staples you likely already have in your home. These ingredients include all-purpose flour, sugar, cocoa powder, baking soda, salt, oil, vinegar, and vanilla extract. But there is wiggle room for substitutions if needed. So what do you think about wacky cake, Simon?
I think that I would rather call it depression cake. I think that seemed, because even though, again, I'm upset with the writing, I wanted more of a sort of a historical tale of this cake. Like, is it like buffalo wings, which kind of originated in the depression, to kind of, you know, spice up a very easy to get food and make it a more interesting dish. And I'm imagining, because it was called depression cake, it is a Great Depression sort of invention. I like the historical aspect of that. I would like to call the strawberry pretzel pudding wacky cake.
Yeah.
Instead.
Yes. And yes.
It seems more wacky. You're right.
Yeah. And then I was on the edge of my seat when Vanessa, you were saying that, like, it's basically, what was the sense? Like something, it's like almost like what we described as a strawberry pretzel salad, where it was like everything in the kitchen, but then they're like, it's like everything in the kitchen. And then they just kind of like, well, everything in like a cabinet. You know what I mean? It's not like there's like fucking pickles and ham.
Right.
It's just like this, like it's that little, it's like a little corner of a cabinet. Like, just throw that in. I think that's, I will, okay. Something that I need to say is I am hungry now, right?
Okay.
Okay. And I didn't realize until we started to discuss these delicious foods, but I'm not ready for my decision yet, but I will say that is influencing my decision. And I think wacky cake sounds fine.
Sounds fine.
Yeah, it'll do.
I'm with Simon. I don't think it's as wacky as the strawberry pretzel salad, but to be honest, I don't eat a ton of cake. If I'm going to eat cake, I kind of want it to be kind of high quality cake. Mm-hmm. Had something. Someone's like, we have some extra baking soda and vinegar. Exactly. I made a cake. But I don't know. Yeah, it's fine. It's I don't have strong feelings about it. Vanessa, what about you?
Well, I left this detail out because I was trying to get through this description, but there's also a detail that this recipe goes against most popular methods for mixing cake batters because there's no bowl or whisk necessary. Plus, and this is in the article, in creating wells for the dry ingredients and filling them with the wet ingredients before mixing, it adds another level of wacky. So, like, it's funny because it's like the strawberry dish is like so, it's just like the ingredients itself are like, you're like, that's wacky. The steak Diane, you're like, oh, it's named after this goddess of the hunt. Like, that's intense. This one is like, there's like, you know, chocolate and like an egg in it or whatever, or no eggs, but like, there's like these all-purpose flour, sugar, and baking soda in it. It's wacky. Like, it's like, it's almost like you said, kind of, Simon, it's like they're scrambling. Like, this cake is almost taking too much credit for how like wackadoodle it is, when it's actually just like, this has the most basic ingredients in it. And I don't know, but also I know that, like, you know, given the times when it was like, you know, the Great Depression or whatever, they had to like be excited about stuff. Exactly. So they were like, this cake is wacky. Like this is wild fun that we're having in the midst of all the doom.
Just a jovial glimmer in trying times by naming wacky cake. And I guess like, so there's it's all like non-perishables pretty much that go in it. Right. I think that's the main thing. And then you could make it sort of in like the pan that you have on your backpack, right?
Yeah.
Clanks around as you walk from town to town.
If you had to pick one, Simon, what are you going with? The steak Diane, the strawberry pretzel salad, or the wacky cake?
Well, I feel like sort of it's almost classist to not choose the wacky cake because I feel like it's like, you know, like it's disrespectful for people who have no option but to eat the wacky cake at a certain time.
Sure.
So I want that to be noted, but I am choosing steak Diana, which I'm going to call it Diana because as you've said, Vanessa, that just makes more sense. And I kind of want to eat that right now.
Yeah, got it.
It sounds pretty good. Yeah, I'm with Simon. I think the steak Diana does sound like the most appetizing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Look, if this steak is $75, like forget it. But if, like I said,
dude.
Yeah.
I've never paid $75 for anything. You know what I mean?
But yeah, of all these, it sounds the most appetizing. Vanessa, what about you?
Well, okay. I want to appreciate what Simon said about like not being like, you know, the it seems like in some ways the right thing to do is to go with the wacky cake.
Sure.
But imagine what a major herb you'd be if you showed up to a party and you were like, this is wacky cake. And people were like, well, go ahead.
And then you explained why they have to like it.
For 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's like you're disrespectful, and they're like, this is history, and it's real, and people struggle, and like, don't just dismiss the wacky cake because like, check your privilege. Yeah.
It's just got all these like basic ingredients that like you already have in your pantry, and then people would be like, okay, well, you have access to like grocery stores and stuff, and you'd be like, yeah, but I thought it would be kind of a cool piece of history to this party.
Exactly.
So I guess I'm okay with that coming back, but I certainly don't want to be the one who's bringing it, you know, to a potluck. So I would say, honestly, I am excited about the strawberry pretzel salad. I don't appreciate that the writer was like, everybody remember our fave dish, strawberry pretzel salad, it's back. But at the same time, I'm into it. It seems like it could be really disgusting, but it could also be really good. And I'm willing to take that risk.
Yeah. The fave dish thing seems like a bit of a psyop. You know, you're like, oh yeah, it wasn't like, you know, and you almost feel like I've never heard of it, but I guess everyone else has. So it's my favorite too.
I mean, this writer's saying it's practically required at picnics. It's like
picnics.
Where? What?
Just imagine that shit covered in ants. No, thank you.
Well, I guess to conclude this game, Steak Diane, congratulations, you baked yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Hell yeah.
They won.
So, Simon, where can people find out more? Thank you so much for coming on. Where can people find out more about your music, what you have going on? I know there's a new Spiral Heads album. What can you talk about that stuff really quick?
Yeah. So there's a new Spiral Heads album. Or for our first record. So we worked on it for a while. And now we're done with it. And it's coming out on February 23rd. And we will be playing shows eventually. Although, haven't none in the books yet. But there's some cool videos coming out. And that's kind of it. And then there's Modest Mouse, Pixies, Cat Power Tour is resuming in June or late May. And then there'll be some more exciting Modest Mouse stuff that I can't talk about yet. But coming up soon. But yeah, that's really it, you know.
You guys should put the strawberry pretzel salad thing on your rider. Maybe you'll get some on the road.
Especially when you're in the South.
Yeah.
Maybe put the steak Diane on the rider, though. That'd be kind of be like, wait, but we also put wacky cake, so like we're not really, you know, like we're kind of like a band of the people. We have wacky cake.
Can you imagine asking for wacky cake and like getting follow-up that's like the venue's asking like what kind of wacky cake you want, and you being like well, there's like there's room for substitutions, like it's just but like it's like anything they have in their home.
And can they bring it to us in a bindle, is that okay? Like We just want to see the runner bring a stick with a handkerchief filled with the ingredients on it, just, you know, for the experience. But yeah. And then, no, put Wacky Cake on the rider, and then, like, one page is the full explanation of the history of it.
What makes a Wacky Cake wacky?
Yeah.
And have that all explained on there, like, poverty. Little herb.
Yeah. Exactly. Loosen up the little herbs. We're talking about Wacky Cake.
Well, thank you so much, Simon, for joining us and everyone for listening. If you enjoyed that, please subscribe to the podcast and keep an eye out for next week's episode of How Did We Get Weird, where we'll discuss more stories from our childhood and cultural touchstones like the Sony Discman and being a herb.
Thanks so much, you guys.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.